everyone. What is up? My name is Tony McGeehee, and you're listening to Emerging Entrepreneurs, the podcast made by an entrepreneur for entrepreneurs. Thanks for tuning in. Now let's get started. Welcome back to episode 20. If this is your first time tuning in, welcome home. You guys are awesome, and thank you so much for joining me. Asia Dang is a 20-year-old college student and the founder and CEO of Defined Thread, an online clothing boutique that she started very recently. I've been friends with Asia for quite a while now. As some of you may know, I grew up in Illinois until I was 16, and Asia was a good friend of mine for the past couple years that I lived there. I wanted to get her on the podcast because as long as I've known her, she has been extremely hardworking. She talks about it briefly, but for many years, she was also a YouTube blogger posting makeup tutorials and anything else related to beauty and fashion. In this episode, she talks about how she began working from a young age and developed a strong work ethic right away and even purchased her first car before she even had a license. So we even talk a little bit about managing your money effectively from a young age to avoid the debt trap. As you'll hear in the interview, Asia also stresses the importance of maintaining authenticity in whatever it is you do. Please leave a review and subscribe on iTunes and share the podcast with your friends. Also, please go follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Emerging Entrepreneurs Podcast. Now, without further ado, let's jump right in. All right, so welcome back to Emerging Entrepreneurs, everyone. I'm here with one of my good friends from Illinois who I used to go to school with when I lived there, Asia Dang. She is the founder and CEO of Defined Thread, an online clothing boutique. Is that what you call it, Asia?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I always just like, it is a boutique. I call it a shop sometimes. I feel okay. Like there might be like a negative, an expensive connotation with boutique, and
yeah, what's expensive. I gotcha. Gotcha. So basically just wanted to get Asia on the podcast because we used to be pretty good friends when I went to school back in Illinois before I moved down to Florida during high school. And so it's really cool to see someone that I'm so close to, going after their dreams and pursuing their passion. So definitely was an interview that I wanted to get done. So Asia, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thanks for having me. This is exciting. This is the first podcast I've been a guest on, and I recently have like gotten into listening to podcasts. So
awesome.
I'm definitely excited about it.
What are some of the podcasts that you're listening to?
I listen to like a lot of like, I guess, generalized as like self-help. That sounds so corny sometimes, but
yeah, no.
Like Untangled is like a meditation one. And then I listen to one, oh gosh, I'm a terrible fan because I don't even, it's called Self-Helpless. And it's like three stand-up female comedians, and they just like talk about trudging through life and stigmas around like mental illness and stuff. So yeah, stuff like that.
Gotcha. All right. So just to get started, go ahead and tell everyone a little bit about yourself and kind of how you got started with the Defined Thread.
I currently am a 20-year-old college student. I go to Bradley University, and my primary major, communications with a concentration in advertising, and I also have a minor in Spanish and a minor in women and gender studies. School was like an obvious route for me. There was definitely no second guessing going to college. I knew that from the beginning that I wanted higher education, but at the same time, I've also always had like this kind of fire inside of me that wanted to work for myself, be self-employed, but like at a really successful level too, like something that was really lucrative, but also enjoyable. So I think with the rise of social media too, we see a lot of people that are doing really great. And so for a while I did kind of like just the blogger thing. I used to make YouTube videos and stuff. And then while I liked that, I realized it maybe wasn't necessarily exactly the route. I didn't enjoy it 100% and 24/7. And I think that anything, you are doing, especially like as a job, should be something that doesn't really feel like work. So it was about trying to figure out something that I could do that I could make money off of that would be reflective of like who I am as a person, and that would like give me some financial freedom too. So I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of girls and guys on social media, like a part of like MLMs and things like that. And to me, even though that can grant independence, it was still like working for someone else. And I really wanted to have total control over like absolutely everything that I did. And I wanted it to be really authentic. So fashion has always been like kind of integral in my life. And I thought like, what would be more fun? Like what better way to kind of channel this like independence than through clothing?
So you talked a little bit about doing the YouTube videos and everything like that. So how did you get started in that, and what made you decide to kind of stop going that route? Because I know we talked a little bit before we got started here.
Yeah.
That you were doing that for a while, but now you're not anymore.
Yeah, I think I started that, I believe it was like my freshman or sophomore year of high school, and didn't tell anyone because we all know how high school can be sometimes. So yeah. I was just kind of putting my feelers out there, but I was really engaged in that beauty and fashion community. I think like most girls, except that I kind of lived it too. Like I was the girl who had a second room with a vanity and an abundance of clothing. And so I spent so long watching and not doing. And so I felt like, well, I could do this too. And I should do this. And I enjoyed like content creation and stuff. But really, YouTube has become so, so saturated, especially that community. So it's even harder. And I wouldn't discourage anyone from doing it. Like if you truly are interested in doing that and you think that you would be good at it, then definitely go for it. Like, I mean, try anything that you think you're even remotely interested in and just see, because you'll never know. But for me, I think like in this day and age with how advanced technology has gotten, it just requires so much and so much more than I was like willing to give. And YouTube has definitely, while it's amazing, like on one hand, that it's become so like such a production, on the other hand, it kind of takes away from like its original element, was that it was like YouTube, your TV, you know, like, and it was supposed to be, I think, like very natural. And now it's like backdrops and softbox lighting, and it's just so intense that I'm like, wow, I don't have the time to like create small movies every week. And so I just decided that, you know, that wasn't necessarily for me. And then also brands that would reach out to me to send me product to do collaborations, a lot of that started stemming from my Instagram. And I realized that like all of them were coming from here instead of YouTube, which I was putting 1,000 times more effort into. So I was like, I mean, what am I really doing this for at this point? So that was, I mean, I struggled with it for a while because I felt like I had put so much time into something, and was I really just going to stop? But with the shop definitely also consuming a lot of time and making me a lot happier, I'm like definitely okay with that decision now.
Yeah, definitely. So I don't know too much about it, but I know that when we were growing up, you know, I followed you on social media and stuff. And so I always knew that you would work, you know, a couple part-time jobs and everything like that while you did YouTube and everything like that. And I always just kind of sensed that you had this really strong sense of work ethic. And so where did that come from, and what's driven you so much to just keep going and going when a lot of people our age just kind of sit back and let the time go?
Yeah, for sure. That's so unfortunate. I wish people like, I really wish people were more of like go-getters and just followed that internal fire, because the world would be a better place, because we would all just be so authentic in what we were doing. But I was raised by a single mom for most of my life. We moved from Alaska when my parents separated at like, it was like 4 years old, maybe 5 years old. And so that was really hard because when we lived in Alaska, we lived, my parents owned a bed and breakfast together. So they were pretty wealthy at that point. And my mom really, to leave a toxic relationship was what it was. She took a big risk because she had, I mean, nothing financially. And so we moved and she would work three jobs at one time. I mean, three waitressing jobs to take care of me. And so from a very young age, I saw that, just like knowing that you can't depend on anyone else and that even if you ever do, you should always have a backup plan and be willing to work for, you know, what you want. Like everything good in life, you know, it doesn't come easy. You have to work for things. And so I saw that and I got my first job at like, it was, I think I was 13 turning 14. And
oh my
I was a freshman in high school and everyone was like, oh my God, you're crazy. Why are you working? But I was working at Ming's, that Chinese buffet. It's not even open anymore. But
oh my gosh,
I was waiting tables there, which waiting tables wasn't like it was a buffet, but we brought them drinks and we bussed and tips were like a dollar or two, but you had like so much volume that I would make $500 in a weekend. And at 13 or 14 years old, like,
that's incredible.
Even now, honestly,
For real. Good.
But then for sure, when I had nothing like to spend that money on, I mean, it was amazing. And so, yeah, I at that same time, also, my mom had injured herself at work. And she ended up having to get a shoulder surgery and was out of work for like 6 months. And, I think that also kind of drove me to just like take care of myself a little bit more, you know, because she and I used to do like little shopping trips and things like that once she had gotten on her feet. And so, I mean, with the surgery taking her out, we couldn't do those things anymore. And I think she felt like really guilty because of that. And I was just like, oh no, like it's fine. Like I'll work, you know, we can still have these things. I'll work. So I've always, I don't know. I mean, I've always worked with school and with everything. And I think it's really important. It teaches you a lot about people and just the value of money too.
Yeah, exactly. So definitely not a track that I thought we would go on this episode, but I do want to go down on a little bit of a tangent here. So you're talking about that money aspect and earning money at that young age. And I think it's so crucial now at the age that we're at to know about, you know, accumulating wealth and saving money and saving for the future and everything like that. So how did you handle that when you were making that kind of money at that young of an age? And, you know, has that improved your spending habits and your saving habits because you started at such a young age?
I think so. When I started making that much money, especially because it was all cash, I was like, okay, I think I need a bank account.
Yeah.
And so my mom took me down to CEFQ and we opened up a bank account and I used to deposit my cash, whatever. For me, it was really rewarding. I mean, don't get me wrong, because I definitely spent money too. I used to say like, if I made like 400, I'd be like, okay, I can take 150 and go shopping. Even though really like I didn't have anything I needed to be saving for, but I was just kind of setting those goals. And so it was really rewarding for me to see that number rise in the bank. And I remember like when I had saved up my first $1,000, I was so excited. And from that point, I was just like, I would set it up in $500 increments. So I would say I'm not spending any money until I hit like 1500. And then I'm not spending any until 2000. And that's actually when I was 15. So before I could even actually drive, I had bought my first car with money. And I remember it sat in our driveway. I couldn't even drive it, but I mean, I had the money and so I bought it. But I think it definitely, I feel like it teaches you a lot about the value for sure. And just knowing, especially like I worked a variety of jobs, Ming's closed, I worked hosting jobs and everything. So bouncing around from different pay levels and kind of learning like, oh, this is not everybody considers your work like worth this much or that much, you know, like, like the fluctuation kind of, I think makes you a little more savvy too. shortly after that, I had started working at Tequila's, a Mexican restaurant, waiting tables. And that was like real waitressing, but it was so iffy. You had no idea. I mean, you could make $40 in a night, which was terrible, or you could make like 150. But I mean, and I was still working that job by the time I had gotten my first apartment. So that was kind of, that was like really eye opening because I mean, you just have to learn how to budget because you never know like what is going to come. And I think that is like what's really important. A lot of like Americans don't save. I think they say we're like the worst country when it comes to savings accounts. And
yeah, we're pretty bad.
It's so crazy too, because I'm like, man, nothing is concrete. So you really have to have that money because you just never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. So let's talk a little bit about Defined Thread. I know that's what you're doing now. For the people that don't know you, she literally opened this clothing store like 2 weeks ago. So like it's just been opened and you've had a couple product launches now, I know.
Yeah.
So how's that going for you now?
It's really good. So my boyfriend Drew, who you know, he is an accounting major. So he handles like all of my bookwork, which is so incredibly helpful for me.
Yeah. God bless him for doing accounting.
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
I'm like, I'm communications. I would like to stay far, far away from numbers. I'm actually, I like was just cracking up the other day. I'm like, wow, I went into advertising to like be creative and stay away from numbers. And then I decided to open up my own business and you cannot avoid numbers.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, it's good. Like I have kind of wrestled with this idea for a few years. I had asked my mom in like my junior year of high school to do this with me and it just never really came to life. So, you know, it was one of those things that it comes and it goes. And then I decided like literally it was October 3rd. I remember the day. and I had sat down and I told Drew, I said, I think I'm gonna, and he said, oh, cool. Like now or in the, like a couple of years from now, like what are you talking about? And I said, yeah, like soon, like now. And he was like, well, that's a really good idea. And literally, yeah. God bless him for being so supportive because I don't know if the roles were reversed. I mean, I'm optimistic, but I would have been like, okay, show me the numbers. What's your plan?
Yeah.
But I've had a lot of support and so October 3rd, I said I was going to open it. And then before I knew it, like I was ordering clothes and tags and tissue paper and all of the stuff to package everything. And it was less than a month later. It was in that same month that we had launch. And I was like, holy shit. I don't know if I can say that on here, but holy shit.
Totally fine. Like, no worries.
This is real.
Yeah.
We're really doing this. And I mean, I definitely had that moment where I was really scared. I was like, what if no one buys anything? What?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Like, what if this just is a complete flop and I was being like way too giddy and optimistic? Like I was just naive. But that didn't happen. And while we didn't like sell out on either launch, we've had definitely like a nice, like steady flow of ordering.
That's good.
We went like 8 days, I think, where not a single day did we go without at least one order. And so like that was really good for me. The feedback has been really good too, like people getting their stuff. And I don't know, like if you know, but like the whole premise, both of the drops that I've done so far, everything has been under $30.
And
so that was kind of like one of like the gimmicks to it, was that these are the exact same brands that local boutiques, and I mean, really just any boutique is carrying, but at a fraction of the price. So you're getting great quality clothing that's really stylish and trendy. But I'm not asking you to pay like $60 for one shirt. And maybe I think it's really refreshing for people. And I wanted to do that because growing up, you know, we didn't always have a lot of money. But nobody ever knew that. Actually, in high school and in junior high, like it was always that I was, you know, people thought I was stuck up or rich or spoiled because I was always like trendy. And it was just because my mom was a really good shopper, you know, being literally, I mean, to be honest, being poor for so many years teaches you that. And
yeah.
I think once you're kind of, once you go down that rabbit hole of like, being frugal, it's really hard to like climb out. Like, even if you have so much money,
exactly. You're like,
oh, I couldn't fathom spending that much on a shirt. Yeah. So I'm still that way.
I'm the exact same way.
Yeah. So like, and I mean, and one of the things that has, garnered a following for me on Instagram too, is that I post about like clothing that I personally have bought. And I tell people like, use this coupon, use these deals. Did you know, like they have a student discount, telling people how to get things for like the cheapest possible. And so it felt like really hypocritical if I was going to open up a shop and then charge prices that I myself would not pay.
Yeah, exactly. So that's so funny what you talked about with just having the idea one day and then just opening it, because this podcast literally started the exact same way. My girlfriend, she went to work one morning and I woke up and I really hadn't been doing much that week and I was just kind of bored. And I was like, I don't want to play PlayStation. I don't know what I'm going to do. So I just got on my laptop and I just had the thought, I was like, why don't I start my own podcast? And so literally by like noon that day, like 4 hours later, I bought all the equipment and everything.
Yeah.
I texted my girlfriend. I was like, hey, I'm going to start a podcast. And she's like, okay.
Yeah. Like, honestly, damn Amazon Prime.
Hey, for real. Like, that's exactly what I got everything off dreams. Of. Exactly. Yeah.
And I know everything's so like, it's at your fingertips.
And exactly.
I mean, it's amazing though. I think sometimes it's just like, when you know, like you just, you yeah. feel it and you're yeah. like, I'm going to do this. I'll be good at this. Like, I'm not going to sit and think about all the reasons why not. And all the people who have failed doing the same thing before me, I'm going to do this, you know? And I don't know. Sometimes you mean you just know. And I think some people, a lot of people have been like, just curious about the process. Like, where do you get clothes from and how does this all work? And,
I was like,
to be honest with you, I had a couple people ask me like very, very private details of like the business, like money that I'm spending and stuff. And I was really taken back by that. Like,
yeah,
I just came up with a whole business plan. I'm not going to hand it to you on a platter.
Yeah.
Like, I'm all for mutual success and like there's enough pie for everyone, but you still have to put in work, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And, but like, I don't know, people just ask me that really like kind of blew my mind. But I will tell people, like, if you want to do this, do this. I'm not going to discourage you, but yeah. just know that I hope you are truly passionate about it, because yes, this has been an enormous amount of work for both Drew and myself. But because I enjoy it so much, it just doesn't feel like working, you know? And I'm sure you feel that way about the podcast, like when you're editing and doing things, but like you enjoy every moment.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's the most important thing. You know, people see like, oh, she's selling clothes online. Like, oh, I could do that too. And I could make money and oh, I'll have this big store and I'll be rich and all that kind of stuff. And so people think that it will lead them to success and that it's easy and they'll be rich afterwards and everything. And you know, people
think that's genuine, like entrepreneurship.
Exactly. You know? And it's not, I mean, and the thing is, it just won't last. Like money is only going to drive you so far. I know some people are driven by money, but I feel like money will only drive any person so far. And once the going gets tough, you know, you just kind of hit that block and you're like, okay, this isn't worth it, because you don't really have a purpose behind what you're doing. You were just doing it to make some money. And so there's thousands of different alternatives to go make money. So why make it hard?
You bring up like a really good point too, because I feel like, you know, that like nice cliche of like money doesn't bring happiness, whatever. Yeah. A lot of people are like, oh, well, all my problems would be solved with money. But I'm like, it's deeper than that. You know, it's about that just money alone, or what you have to do to get money. Like, is that worth it? And that's what a lot of people don't understand. Like, of course, money is our motivator, because I mean, we have to have it to survive.
Yeah.
But it's about the means of of getting it, you know, and it's like, what is the process? And that's what's important, is finding the process of getting money in a way that makes you absolutely happy. So, I mean, and then like a lot of people, I think right now my projected graduation was May of 2020, but I'm going to graduate a semester early. So next fall. And I don't really know like what my plans are, you know, like I would love to just keep sticking with this shop. I have no intention of it being only a year long.
Yeah, know? Exactly.
So, if it could grow more and more, then that would be amazing. And I would be totally satisfied with doing that. And I think some people maybe look at that as like, you didn't necessarily need a college education for that. But I mean, for me, I feel like I've just like learned so much and become so much more like cultured too by going to college. Exactly. And so it only helps.
Yeah. And I think the biggest thing about college too, for me, is I kind of feel the same way sometimes. I'm like, man, why did I, like, the things that I want to do after college, like right now I'm getting ready to work with a startup golf company because I want to work in the golf industry when I graduate. And sometimes I think, man, I didn't really need the college education for what I want to do. And like, it just felt like a big waste of time. But the people that I've met and like the network that I've established, there's no way it would have happened
without all going to college. The connections.
And so it was so important. And so you can't really put a price tag on that. So, you know, some things you don't need college for, but going to college is still definitely a good thing in my eyes, I think.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think if it were affordable for everyone, I really think everyone should go to college, like whether it's actually necessary for your job. But like, I just feel like high school, by the time you graduate high school, I mean, you're still so young and immature in so many ways that I'm like, college really just teaches you so much about life.
Yeah.
So I wish everyone could get a college education just for that.
Yeah, exactly. So kind of going back on what you said about people asking you kind of about the process and everything with it, obviously without going into too much detail, obviously I don't want you to reveal your business plan, but
yeah,
people kind of see the finished product now and that it's released and that you're selling clothes and all that kind of stuff. And you're posting on social media and it all seems great from the outside, but kind of talk about that process, even though it was pretty short, you said it was only about a month. Talk about that process and what that was like. And, you know, obviously when you had the idea to start it, you committed to it, but I'm sure you didn't really know how to do everything. You just need to go and figure out how to do it. And so talk a little bit about that process from the time that you knew you wanted to do it until it actually launched.
Yeah. So like I said, I had discussed this with my mom a few years ago. And so back then I had kind of started researching. And I mean, as you are a guy, you may not be as familiar with like Facebook group boutiques, but those are kind of popular. I belong to a few where they solely sell within Facebook groups. And it's crazy what Facebook has done. So initially I was thinking I would just do that I wouldn't do a website, you know, and you post a picture of something and you say, comment with your PayPal and whatever. But then I was like, oh, this is going to get very complicated because you have to account for taxes. You have to account for shipping, all these things. And so that was kind of when I decided to do a website and that I wanted it to be established beyond the inner workings of Facebook and be more of like a brand. So I think that was something that was really like the most like eye-opening thing for me. And what was such a learning process was honestly all of the like legalities of it, because I didn't want to do anything wrong, you know. I'm not trying to get in trouble with the IRS. So
yeah,
I'm like looking up everything, like how much to charge for taxes, how do I pay them, and you know, registering as a business. And I mean, a question I get a lot is like, where do you get the clothes? While obviously I'm not going to release like the names of my wholesalers, but you get them from wholesalers or distributors. And what a lot of people don't know is, I mean, you're paying wholesale price, that way you can sell it at a profit. And
exactly,
you have to have a like a federal identification number as a business to even get access to those websites. Yeah. So, because you're avoiding paying sales tax on those and getting them at such a good price that they make you like register like that. And so that was kind of like eye opening to, you know, just, I mean, the whole process of it. It's not, I feel like it's not as easy as people think. But yeah, so pretty much you find wholesalers, there's thousands of them, and you find ones that fit with your price range and style that you like and the quality, and you buy from there. And I mean, that's it. Like, you buy from them and the rest is just on you. The clothes get delivered like it would if you ordered a package from American Eagle, and and then you got to figure out all the rest. So then we, you know, we're figuring out how much to charge, and that was a whole other issue to tackle.
Yeah, exactly. That's really interesting. I didn't know a lot of that, of what you said. So that's really interesting. So I have just a couple more questions for you. First of all, I want to ask what advice you have for people who, you know, think they might want to be entrepreneurs and really might want to follow something that they've been thinking about, and just what kind of advice would you give them in general about doing that?
Yeah, like I said earlier, I wish like everyone was an entrepreneur. I wish nobody settled for just always working for someone else and doing these other things that maybe don't 100% satisfy them. My advice is to really just be fearless and go after it and be consistent too, because I know there's a lot of negativity surrounding like being a dreamer. And people are like, oh, like this person, so-and-so has got their head in the clouds. Like, one second, you know, you don't want to be doing one thing and then switching and doing another back and forth constantly. While I definitely give advice of like, don't stick with something you don't love, but also pursuing something with seriousness. So being fearless, but also being serious about it. So, I mean, this boutique could just be fun, and I could have kind of let the ball drop and then it wouldn't succeed. So it's really about finding something that you're willing to put the work into, because as fun as it can be, you still have to put work into it. So finding something that you're going to actually be genuinely passionate about, and just ignoring any negativity that comes your way. This goes for anything. And going to college, I think I saw this a lot with friends that I was meeting who would have parents that maybe didn't approve of their major or were forcing them into a different major that they didn't want to be in. And I found that so profoundly sad, because I mean, I would always tell them, like, it's your life. You're the one sitting in that classroom. You're the one who gets the degree, and you're the one who has to live with it every single day, not them. And being a comm major too would get a lot of criticism, like, oh, they never get jobs, whatever, which one was just like such a fallacy in general, because I was like, man, communication like surrounds you. I don't know if you guys just don't know how to decipher between communication and business, but it's everywhere. And then also my biggest like advice, I guess, is that if you really love something, like, you will be good at it. Somebody has to be good at it, because it doesn't matter if you're a painter or a DJ or a businessman, like, but somebody's got to be the best, and we all need someone that's the best in each field. So I just think definitely just finding what you're really passionate about and ignoring any criticism that comes from anyone else, because they have their own life to live. And so don't let anyone like live vicariously through you or control your decisions.
Yeah, exactly. So before my last question, just want to take 1 second to say how much I appreciate you doing this, coming on the podcast and doing this interview with me. Really just appreciate you coming on. And I, you know, we haven't talked in quite a few years since I moved from Illinois. It's been about five and a half years or so. And so I've kind of just been following you on social media and what you're doing. And just, I don't know, just never reached out, but, really admire, you know, how much passion you have for what you do, and always having the drive to chase your goals. So, So thanks for being awesome and, you know, just being inspiring for other people who want to go out there and, you know, do what they love to
Thank you. I mean, I definitely appreciate you reaching out. I think it's awesome what you're doing. I think we should all be self-starters, and whether it's a side hustle, a hobby, or a full-time gig, like, have something that you truly love to do. And I mean, I can definitely see that you have that inside of you, like, for this podcast. I watch your little, like, I think, what is it called? 2 Minute Tuesday, right?
Yeah, the 2 Minute Tuesdays.
I watch those and I love them because I think there's so much like criticism for being positive on social media. And I always joke, like, I get on my stories and I'm like, okay, I'm about to go like DJ Khaled on your guys' asses.
And exactly.
I go into like a little rant. But I'm like, man, we get on social media and complain about things. Like, we should appreciate the people that come on here and are here to inspire us and motivate us, because I mean, that is just, you never know who's watching and who really needed that. So for someone to take the time out of their day to spend it trying to inspire others, like, really anonymously too, they have no idea who needs that. I mean, I think that's incredible.
Yeah, exactly. So my last question for you is called The Three Truths. Have you ever heard of it?
No.
Okay. So basically it's a hypothetical scenario where it's your last day on earth and you've done everything that you've ever wanted to do. You know, you've accomplished all the goals that you've set for yourself and everything like that. You basically have no regrets, but at the end of your last day, everything that you've ever done and ever created and ever accomplished will be completely erased, and nobody's going to have anything to remember you by except for the three things that you write down on the piece of paper next to you.
Oh, this is an intense moment.
Yeah.
What are my three truths? Okay. Number one, I mean, I can tell you this for sure in all aspects of life, is that communication is absolutely everything. Be open, be honest, be kind, but be open and be honest. I think all of our problems come from lack of or miscommunication. And if we could just learn to properly communicate, the world would just be a way better place. So that's number one. Number two, I think, is to be careful when judging others, because our lives change, can change drastically in just, you know, the snap of a finger. And you never know where people come from, you know, like, I think, I mean, I was like raised by a poor mom for a lot of my life and then had rich parents. And now I'm like self-sufficient and independent. And I hope that I become like pretty lucrative and successful myself. And it just goes to show that we could all have been in each other's places. So, you know, just be really careful, because you just don't know what someone's going through, where they've been, or where they're headed. So definitely be light on judging people. Three, my last one, this one feels, I feel like, even more important. The last thing I can say. Okay. I think my third and final truth would be that, like, education really is the key to success. And I don't mean that as school, but, you know, just trying to not be ignorant and learning about other people, their cultures, their backgrounds, everything. And just knowing that you have to learn about everyone and everything and be open-minded and be open to other perspectives before being steadfast in your own opinion and your own thoughts, because I just think that's so important. We all get along a lot better if we're just willing to shift perspective and willing to learn from one another. So education is everything, whether that's in a classroom or learning from your coworkers in the kitchen of a restaurant, it doesn't matter, but just being willing to learn always.
Exactly. That's always what I say. I just did a 2 Minute Tuesday on that a couple weeks
really?
Ago. So definitely agree with you on that one. Yeah. So Asia, thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it. If we want to connect with you, where can we find you?
You can find me on Instagram at Asia K. Dang. That's how you pronounce that, by the way, guys. It's A-S-I-A-K-A-I-D-A-N-G. That's pretty much it. That's where I'm at most. And then also you can find the shop at Defined Thread on Instagram and DefinedThread.com.
All right, perfect. Asia, thank you so much for doing this interview with me. It was great to catch up with you after so many years.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Guys, we will see you on the next episode.
There you have it. I hope you enjoyed this interview with Asia as much as I enjoyed recording it. It's inspiring to see a good friend finding success at what she does every day. I haven't met or talked to many people who have had a work ethic from such a young age like Asia. If you want to connect with Asia, you can find her on Instagram at Asia K Dang or on the shop page at Defined Thread. Make sure to check out the shop at www.definedthread.com. If you felt inspired by this episode and want to get started on pursuing your passion, start today by going to audibletrial.com/emerge and pick up a free book on me that will help you take that next step on becoming who you want to be. Please, if you've enjoyed the podcast thus far, leave a rating and review on iTunes. It would mean a ton to me. If you haven't already, you can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Emerging Entrepreneurs Podcast. Thank you again so much for tuning in to this episode of Emerging Entrepreneurs. Now, it's your time to emerge.